Our Bible reading today is from Psalms 112, the happiness of a good person. Praise the Lord! Happy is the person who honours the Lord, who takes pleasure in obeying his commands. The good man's children will be powerful in the land, his descendants will be blessed. His family will be wealthy and rich, and he will be prosperous forever. Light shines in the darkness for good people, for those who are merciful, kind, and just. Happy is the person who is generous with his loans, who runs his business honestly. A good person will never fail, he will always be remembered. He is not afraid of receiving bad news, his faith is strong and he trusts in the Lord. He is not worried or afraid, he is certain to see his enemies defeated. He gives generously to the needy and his kindness never fails. He will be powerful and respected. The wicked see this and are angry. They glare in hate and disappear. Their hopes are gone forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 112 is the lectionary reading for today. In our study, there are shelves of, we might say, theological religious books, but there wasn't one on the Psalms. The books of Psalms, but not the one about the Psalms and giving me some advice. So I went looking for advice on the internet, and I found a lot. And one word came up all the time. This word was acrostic. Now, I knew the word acrostic. It was kind of a thing about poems. Poems that started with the first letter of each line made a word. Lewis Carroll was a great one for writing acrostic poems. You know, Alice in Wonderland Man. When he wasn't being a mathematician, of course. And Edgar Allan Poe, who wrote The Raven and, oh, that wonderful horror story, The Cask of Amontillado. He wrote acrostic poems. Acrostic. I had a look at it. I had a look at the one that Glenys has just read. You had a look at the lines. You didn't see anything lined up anywhere there that looked familiar. You can go to the King James Version. It doesn't have it either. What you had to find was the Hebrew poem. When it was written in Hebrew, it has 22 lines, and each line starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and there are only 22 letters. Psalm 111, I'm told, is exactly the same. Let's get away from acrostic and come back to Psalm 112. Now, when you read it through, there's a bit, it's all kind of, you know, he, so it has difficulties for the ladies. So we can leave that for another day. I want to look particularly, though, at verses 5 and 9. And there they are. They're up there. Happy is the person who's generous with his loans. He gives generously to the needy. I use that with love to the world for guidance and readings. And it has a paragraph about today's reading. And it had one from all the other days in the week, of course. And then down the bottom for today, it has a question. Has a question for every day, but has a question for today. Is there a practical way for you to demonstrate generosity? Generosity. I'm thinking about generosity. You're thinking about generosity. Are we thinking the same thing? Now, if we didn't have the internet, I'd have to search in a library, in my library at home, in my study at home. And in my study at home is this book, Roget's Thesaurus of English Words and Phrases. Dates back to the 19th century. When I was high school, I was having terrible trouble with English. I'm in year 9, we've only just started high school, and the demand was a bit high, and I was a bit lost. And my dad speaks to my English teacher to seek advice, to seek help. And he says, go and buy Peter, no, he wouldn't have said Peter, he said, would have gone by Smith, a thesaurus. So Dad went to QBD, Queensland Book Depot, 61 Adelaide Street, Brisbane, and bought me this. It's all there. The price was 25 shillings. It's still written in there, together with my name and address that my dad wrote in it. And 25 shillings was a fair bit of money. I don't think my dad earned £20 a week at that stage. And there was £1.05 of it gone to buy this hard-covered book. But it was wonderful. It told me about words, synonyms, phrases. It was wonderful. Nowadays, of course, you just go to the internet, and I did. And so there it is. I looked up generosity. Well, I got pages and pages and pages. I've condensed it down to one page up there. And I want to look at three words particularly. I want to look at kind, volunteer and giving. But you'll notice that I've stuck another word over there, eleemosynary. Now, I know that word. Why do I know that word? Not something I use every day, but I knew it. And I thought, where did I know it from? It bothered me. I thought it probably was from when I had to read Vanity Fair by Thackeray in Sub Senior. Hated it every page I had to read. But anyway, I read it. So I go to the internet, it's easy today, so I still have the copy, it's probably upstairs. I have a whole room full of books upstairs. I didn't go upstairs to find it. I thought I'd go to the internet, because when I go to the internet, I can search on that whole thing. I can say, find me eleemosynary. And it did. Well, no, it didn't. It said, no, it's not in Thackeray's Vanity Fair. And I thought, oh, gosh, it's got to be from a long time ago somewhere. And I thought a bit more about it. And I thought, what other old-time book had I read way back then? I didn't read. I read Agatha Christie. Hornblower books. And then it dawned on me that I'd been to the movies in 1963 to see Tom Jones. And Tom Jones, the movie, was from a book by A History of Tom Jones, a Foundling, by Fielding. He was a bit of a lad. He had it away with the women. It was an exciting film, and was condemned by others and exciting. But as a uni student, you went and saw all these types of stuff. And I thought, well, if I've seen the movie, one should read the book. So I downloaded the book. That was way back then. I should read the book. Downloaded the book. And lo and behold, in the first chapter, eleemosynary. To give charitably, to give alms, not use much, but it does get used. Anyway, that's probably a new word for some of you for today. We're not going to stick to eleemosynary. We're going to look at the others, kind, volunteering and giving. Giving always kind of, in my mind, says giving is something from rich people. Are you rich? I don't know. You might be. I know Pam and I aren't. We're not rich. I thought of Christine Bryant when I was preparing this sermon. And Christine, you remember, went from here and worked as a missionary teacher in Senegal for 14 years. 14 years she was there and never got paid once. No. If she was to survive, someone had to send the money to survive. And we did from here. We sent money from here. You know, Pam and I sent money. Friends in other churches sent money. A family sent money. I said to her once, Christine, are you rich? Talking about living. And she said, look, if I was living in Australia, I could not survive. I don't have enough money to buy food. I don't have enough money to buy almost anything. But in Senegal, Christine was not poor. The ladies in the village nearby, Christine employed one of them. A person who's living on donations from Australia, Christine employed one of them a few days a week to do housekeeping for her. I said, Christine, how can you afford it? And she said, well, I just give up a bit of chocolate. And as you know, if you know Christine, chocolate was, oh, chocolate was it. We used to send her chocolate until one day she got that we used to send her posters and things like that, and down the middle we'd put in Cadbury's chocolates, until one day she got all the wrappers and no chocolate, so we decided it wasn't worth that because they cost a few bob to send. But anyway, was Christine rich? Depending on the circumstance, doesn't it? If you've been reading the paper, listening to the news over the last some years now, you hear a lot about the bank of mum and dad. We might have been, some of you might have been the bank of mum and dad. I don't know. Buying the children a house, the grandchildren a house. Oh, good grief, you've got to have a few bob to be doing that. Verse 5 said, happy is the person who was generous with his loans. Happy is the person who's generous with loans. the bank of mum and dad is usually generous. Generous maybe to help buy a car, to buy a phone. Generous with university fees. Generous, you name it. Mum and dad are often generous with their loans. 40-odd years ago, I went from here as the church's representative to a synod in Brisbane. The guest speaker was a young woman about my age at the time from Sydney. She was a keynote speaker. I don't remember much of her speech, but I remember one little bit because it really struck me. She said she and her husband had a rule that if people approached them for money, they would, in Sydney, they'd often be sitting in a coffee shop or outside or in Macca's, outside of Macca's or things like that. If anyone approached them for money, they always said yes. They gave $5, but they didn't get the $5, here's $5. No, they had a little spiel about Jesus and in your life. And one day, this young Aboriginal woman came up to them. They were sitting outside McDonald's, and she asked for money. And they were quite happy. Usual thing, sit down, yes, we'll give you some money. And they looked in their wallet. Keep back, this is 40 years ago, and all they had was $50. And they quickly said to each other, but we always give. And so they spoke to the young woman, and they gave her $50. And she was overjoyed. But she wasn't overjoyed that she got the $50, because she was overjoyed and she said, I have to find two more Christian people and then I will have enough money for the bond for a flat. I can pay the rent, but I cannot get the bond. The story goes on, was much more complex than that. It was absolutely had a most wonderful ending and all that. But I don't want to go there. Was that generosity? You know, it was giving. Let's come and look at the other word that's in there, volunteer. You know, people often get a bit fearful of volunteering. Oh, gosh. And not sure they do the right thing, you know. Will they want me? Will I say something silly? But how many of us have volunteered this morning? Yes, lots of people. Someone's opened the church. Someone's cleaned the church. Someone played music. Someone brought food. Someone's organised a service. Someone's looked after the yard. No one was paid, were they? No, they volunteered. They volunteered. We volunteer. That's generous. A couple of days ago, we had the Australia Day honours were announced. If you watch the ABC news of an evening, you'll know that the weather is invariably given by Jenny Woodward. Now, Jenny got a gong. I went to the website, the Governor General's website, and you get all the people who got it, and you get the full biography and the bits and bobs and everything that's there. And I asked to search the website for the word volunteer. Bang. Well, it's not that everyone did, but lots and lots of people who got gongs had volunteer. Jenny had volunteer against her. She's volunteered for Meals on Wheels for the last 20 years. Lots and lots of people volunteer. Some people, as I read through, you get caught up in these things, don't you? You read through and you think, oh, gee, that's interesting. I'll read the next one. Some people that I read about had started out volunteering on a committee and then had ultimately run this committee at a world level. We volunteer here on outside things. Meals on Wheels is one I've been talking about. Scouts, service clubs, the information centre, hospital committees, lifesavers, environmental groups, political parties, Amnesty International, other lobby groups. Maybe you really can't volunteer. It's just not you. But there are things you can do in a voluntary system. You shouldn't be sitting at home being an armchair critic. Sitting in the armchair and advising the government or the council or the people next door how they should run their lives or what they should do and what they shouldn't do. Write a letter. Doesn't have to be long. A couple of sentences, a paragraph. Write to the council, say, I think we need to do this. More importantly, write and say something positive. Some of us here sit on a committee for the hospital. And we often hear about the negative things that people say about the hospital. Positive things come with great joy to them all. Positive things. Write a positive letter. We often forget. We're annoyed by something that's going wrong, and so we do something. But often positive things, we just said thanks for the time and ran away. When I was preparing this, I came across this paragraph in an article, and I'll read it to you. It's only half a dozen lines. Generosity is an act that is done to benefit others. Research shows that when you act generously, it actually benefits your well-being. Generous people are physically healthier, have greater empathy, suffer from lower rates of depression, and even live longer. Now, we're looking up there, and the only one I haven't dealt with is kind. But I want to come back to those people. Oh, the homework. The homework. The homework was read on from Romans 12 to the end. And I did. And lo and behold, good grief, it all fits together today. I bet Graham didn't know that at the time. But anyway, in Romans 12 and verse 6, it reads, and I'm going to just read the paragraph, God has also given each of us different gifts to use. If we can prophesy, we should do it according to the amount of faith we have. If we can serve others, we should serve. If we can teach, we should teach. If we can encourage others, we should encourage them. If we can give, we should give generously. If we are leaders, we should do our best. If we are good to others, we should do it cheerfully. And a bit further on, under some rules for Christian living, it says, take care of God's needy people. This volunteering and giving bit, it's all there. A bit more under that rules for living is very good, because it goes on to getting rid of that eye for an eye type thing. You know, it doesn't work. He says, no, you don't do that. You don't do eye for an eye thing. And then chapter 13 is a bit difficult, because the first part of it is the bit that English kings used to say this was what the Lord said, the divine right of kings. Anyway, we'll leave that bit for heavy theology. And then it comes on a bit further in chapter 13 and says, no one who loves others will harm them. So love is all that the law demands. There's a bit more in that. And then right at the end of chapter 13, it says, let the Lord Jesus Christ be as near to you as your clothes you wear. Remember this. I put there with you the figure of you, and I put you into there, and there Jesus Christ, and you around. Let Jesus Christ be around you like the clothes that you wear. Isn't that wonderful? There he is in Romans chapter 13, and there is a come out of him at the end. And then he goes on to don't criticize others, isn't that? Don't criticize others. It's a great thing in there. Don't get onto people because they don't eat meat on Fridays, or that they always have to have Wednesday, so they have to have pasta, or that they never eat meat at all. And it goes on for paragraph after paragraph about all these things that are there. He didn't mention elbows on tables, with a bit of a pity, or eating peas with your knife. And then pages at the end, Paul kind of says, here all the people have been helping me. Be kind to them. Look after them. Be kind to them. And he lists people after people after people, where they were and all that type of thing. That's a bit that you don't want to get to read in church, because, gee, some of those names are not easy to pronounce quickly as you run along. But that's where Graham took us in our homework. He took us to kindness, because that's where it was at the very end of Romans, was kindness. And so there it is up there, kindness. I want to come to an end with kindness, because there are two things I want to mention with kindness. Many of you would be aware that last year, for many, many weeks, I walked around town with sandwich board on it that said Givingham Hospital CT machine. We have been successful. The minister says, yes, I will. $1 million job. Well, one day, while doing this, I would often meet up with Pam and we'd go into JK's and have a cup of coffee and a cake. And on this occasion, we were with John Kushler. John was with us and we went in and we're going, and as we're sitting down, a lady waves and we wave back, she's going out. And Pam goes up to the counter and orders up the coffee and cake and goes to pay. And they said, no, it's just been paid for. It's just been paid for. We don't know who it was. It was an act of kindness. Now, Pam and I have been to many coffee shops, JK's, across the road, all the others in town. We'd go around occasionally. I remember that one. Particularly, I remember that one. Or an act of kindness. My notes here have JK's and crucifixion. An act of kindness. Can't think of that as a crucifixion. But let's picture the crucifixion for a moment. There it is. There's Christ on the cross. The two robber thieves on either side. The crowd all gathered round. Get yourself down, lad. Come on. You said you're the Messiah. You can do it. You can do it. Come on. That's it. You did all that wonderful curing. Get yourself down. And one of the robbers says, you know, come on, Jesus. Come on. Get yourself down. Come on. We can. And the other one says, to the robber says, hey, come off it. We're here because it was just desserts. We got caught, we were, you know we deserve it. But he doesn't. He doesn't. Here was a robber speaking with kindness about our Lord. And he turns to our Lord and says, Lord, remember me. We all know the answer to that, don't we? We all know the answer. There at the moment of crucifixion, there was kindness shown to our Lord. Generosity and kindness is known to have a ripple effect. In March of 2010, a study published in the National Academy of Sciences found that generosity and kindness ripples out to 3 degrees of separation. When a person carries out an act of generosity and kindness, 2 more people are inspired or influenced to be generous or kind. Let us go in the world being kind, generous, volunteering, and all the other words that are there. Amen.